Broadcasting Company brings its listeners a program about the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in them. On this last broadcast of the year, we bring you a report on industrial and business conditions in a group of Western Michigan cities with the outlook for 1949. Here to introduce the program is your guide on Western Michigan at Work, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. To get first-hand information on retail business and manufacturing in the cities of Western Michigan and conditions in general, I've invited a number of chambers of commerce in this area to participate in our program tonight and to provide a spokesman for their respective cities. We regret that there is not time on the program for all the cities in our listening area to be represented. What you will hear tonight, therefore, is a sort of a cross-section of Western Michigan industrial and commercial conditions. Well, first, let's go to the southern part of Western Michigan, and for a summary of the business outlook in Sturgis, we welcome to our WKZO microphone Mr. William Stapleton, president of the Sturgis Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Stapleton.
Thank you, Dr. Dunbar. 1949 promises to be another banner year for the city of Sturgis. For industrial, retail, and civic standpoints, the prospects are encouraging. Today, on the brink of a new year, the total number of Sturgis industries stands at 40, and they are a diversified group. Our three largest factories are the Kirsch Company, world's largest manufacturer of Venetian blinds and drapery hardware, the National Carbon-Coated Paper Company, world's largest producer of carbon-treated paper, and the Weather Seal Manufacturing Company, the nation's leading manufacturer of storm doors and windows. And there are many others with enviable records in their respective fields. Sturgis factories now employ 3,500 persons, and we believe that number will increase during 1949. Several of the factories in Sturgis already are planning to expand their facilities and increase their production workforce east and west of Sturgis. Perhaps the highlight of 1949 from a civic standpoint will be the start of construction of the new $500,000 addition to Sturgis Memorial Hospital. Sturgis had no strikes during 1948, and both labor and management predict as good a record for 1949. Population of the city is continuing to increase steadily. An outgrowth of this increase is the new Catholic school, construction of which was started last fall, for use September the 1st, 1949. The city of Sturgis, with its diversified industries balanced by a commerce drawn from a rich agricultural area, looks forward to a prosperous new year.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stapleton. For another sample of industrial and business conditions to the south of Kalamazoo, we present next Mr. James Alexander, Secretary of the Coldwater Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Alexander.
Dr. Dunbar, it's quite interesting to listen to Mr. Stapleton's resume of Sturgis outlook for 49, and I want to assure you that Coldwater's in there pitching for new industry, as well as helping with our local industry. We have 12 industries in Coldwater, with approximately 1,500 people employed in manufacturing. Our largest industries there in Coldwater are the Federal Mogul, the Homer Furnace, the Pratt Manufacturing, and Reynolds Springs. But there are several other smaller ones that we're hoping that will grow a whole lot next year. As far as our retail outlook, it looks good. From where we sit, our tourist business means about $1 million a year to our merchants of Brants County and Coldwater, and we're going into promotion of tourist business much more extensively this year. We're again going to have our Fisherman's Festival, our third annual festival, and many other promotions and industrial developments that will increase the economy of Coldwater and the neighboring towns in Brants County.
Thank you very much, Mr. Alexander. May I add that we're very happy to have as our guests in the studio this evening, in addition to Mr. Stapleton and Mr. Alexander, Mr. James Mintz, Secretary of the Sturgis Chamber, and Mr. Jerry Hensley, President of the Coldwater Chamber. Next, we bring you by transcription a New Year's message from O.F. Yedley, President of the Three Rivers Chamber of Commerce.
It would take 2 hours instead of 2 minutes to prophesy the future of Three Rivers, but to make any prophecy, it would be necessary to look into the immediate past. That is best expressed by a holiday visitor who had not been in Three Rivers during the past few years. He said, "It is amazing the way Three Rivers has grown industrially and commercially. We have not only grown in the industrial and commercial fields, we have had a full-fledged development. Our housing has kept abreast of the times. Here in Three Rivers, we are well housed, we are well clothed, we are well fed. Here in Three Rivers, our civic spirit, our social, our educational, our religious life is at its best. We believe in living and let live. We believe not only in life, but a more abundant life for the future. To illustrate, take our Dr. Haynes Airport. This is one of the finest flying fields in Michigan. The field itself, the office building, the three hangars to house 14 planes, totaling values way over $50,000, were all paid for by free will donations and given to the city to be maintained as a municipal airport. Also take the illustration of our municipal hospital, gifts by our public-spirited citizens and corporations totaling over $175,000, augmented by local tax monies and federal assistance, is making possible a $500,000 addition to better serve the future. With living and giving like that, a community is teeming with progress in the future. During the past year, we have added one industry employing 25 people, and last Sunday's Kalamazoo Gazette carried a complete story of an expansion program by the Eddy Paper Corporation during 1949, which will double their output. Here in Three Rivers, we really believe that life is at its best, and with that joy in our hearts, we radiate to our friends in Kalamazoo and the state of Michigan happier times for 1949.
Ben's retiring today.
Thank you, Mr. Yedley. Moving to the northern part of our listening area, we hear next a report on the outlook for the new year in Greenville. Mr. Leon Moran, Secretary of the Greenville Chamber, was unable to be here tonight, but has sent this summary.
We are very grateful to WKZO this evening for the opportunity to discuss the outlook for Greenville during the new year. To start with, I would like to say that we have just finished one of the best years in our history. Greenville will go into the new year with the highest industrial employment figure in our history, and while we do not expect any new industries in the near future, we have good reason to believe our employment picture will be even better in 1949. We expect this increase to come mainly from increased production at the Gibson Refrigerator Company. It is our understanding that Gibson's planned to employ an additional 500 people between now and March 1, 1949 in their Greenville and Belding plants. Our other industries indicate plans to hold their production at present levels, so this gives a rather healthy outlook as far as the industrial picture is concerned. Our retailers appear to have faith in the future, as evidenced by the considerable development of commercial properties during the past year. Several large new buildings have been erected for retail purposes, and an even larger number have been remodeled to improve our shopping district. We know of several commercial properties that will be improved during 1949, including a new home for our newspaper, complete with the latest equipment for increased production. We know that a new bowling alley is planned for next year. There's also a possibility of a modern trailer camp with a capacity of 100 trailers. In addition, we know that many existing stores will be completely remodeled to further improve our shopping district. Our civic developments will include a new $600,000 hospital to serve Greenville and quite a wide surrounding area.
Now for a report on the outlook for 1949 in Hastings, we bring to our microphone Mr. Irwin Parmalee, President of the Hastings Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Parmalee.
It's a great pleasure tonight, Dr. Dunbar, and hear from the other towns in our territory. Like the rest of them, many things have happened in Hastings this year. We have several large first-class manufacturing plants in our town, the E.W. Bliss Company, Hastings Piston Ring Company, Oakmaster's Modern Furniture, Metal Tiles, International Lock and Seal, and the Royal Coat. These plants employ approximately 1,700 people. These are plants that are first in their class in the nation. Oakmaster's has done a great deal this last few years in expanding modern furniture. The Piston Ring has built a new building and developed their Aero spark plug. The E.W. Bliss has increased their facilities to almost double. Metal Tiles is a new industry in our community in the past year and a half, and they make tile for bathrooms. The Royal Coach, making trailers, has also remodeled and enlarged their facilities. In addition to the increase in manufacturing facilities in our town,
We have a brand new furniture store, the most modern of its type, on the outskirts, handling better class furniture. Also, the most modern small hotel in Western Michigan. And this last few weeks, we have opened probably the largest and most modern supermarket of its kind in small towns in the country. In addition to this, the Chamber of Commerce, realizing that our town is growing, have built 5 houses this year to help ease the housing shortage. In the field of education, we have also passed a tax which will allow us in the next few years to increase our educational facilities for additional children. We also are putting in a new waterworks in the next 6 months. All of these add up to just one thing. We expect Hastings to continue to grow and improve as a place to live.
Thank you very much, Mr. Parmalee. Next, a look at Ionia. Charles Kilgore, Secretary of the Ionia Chamber of Commerce, has sent us this report on what things look like in Ionia for 1949.
I'm very sorry I cannot be present in person this evening on your program, Western Michigan at Work. Ionia, Michigan, located in the beautiful Grand River Valley, just 32 miles east of the city of Grand Rapids, is an ever-growing community of friendly people. Although the year 1948 did have its disappointments for its people, the retail business remained at a par, no doubt due to the efforts of the Chamber of Commerce Retail Committee and their promotions, which will continue in the new year. Hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent in the past few months in a building program, in homes, retail establishments, and a school addition. Looking into the coming year of 1949, we can only say that our industries are very stable, with some reporting better contracts for work, which will add more employment. The Chamber of Commerce, working with other industries, makes 1949 look like a year full of coming events. Ionia is surrounded by a rich agricultural farming. This, too, has enjoyed a good year and looks toward 1949 as another year of plenty. Ionia is known the world over as the home of the Ionia Free Fair. Last season, we played host to approximately 400,000 persons during its 6 days and 6 nights. We trust in 1949 the weatherman will again be kind to us, that we may entertain even more people from August 8th to August 13th inclusive at this great outdoor attraction. And so, on behalf of the officers, directors, and members of the Ionia Chamber of Commerce, we wish to thank you for the opportunity to partake in this program, and to thank you and the staff of WKZO for the many past favors and goodwill broadcasts from our fair city. May station WKZO continue to grow throughout the new year.
Finally, for something on business and industrial conditions to the west of Kalamazoo, let me present Mr. Duane Murphy, First Vice President of the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, Dr. Dunbar. As in the case of Coldwater, any study of South Haven's economy must be considered in 3 phrases: industry, commercial, and resort. Among our main industrial plants are the Everett Piano Company, the S.E. Overton Company, National Motor Castings, Bowen Brass and Aluminum Corporation, both Plant 6 and Plant 12, Michigan Fruit Tanners, and the South Haven Fruit Exchange. There are also numerous smaller industries, including garment factories, woodworking plants, meat packing plants, and so forth. The general consensus of opinion among plant executives is that a leveling off process is taking place, and although business will continue at high volume, it is stabilizing at a more normal level. In a few cases, special situations will greatly increase production demands. One executive, for example, told me that they would have to increase their labor force by as much as 35% in 1949. Most of the plants plan to hold steady on their labor supply. The policy of the Chamber of Commerce is to promote the establishment of a number of smaller industries, although the policy in no way opposes the establishment of larger industries. In fact, South Haven presents some outstanding advantages to new industry: low-cost power, available labor supply, available housing, and favorable location with good transportation facilities to terminal points like Kalamazoo, Chicago, and Detroit. Retail business and other commercial enterprises in the city seem to be about the same opinion. 1949 should bring a leveling off of prices and demand, which will have a stabilizing effect on business in general. The Chamber of Commerce is planning a number of 1949 promotions to help maintain retail business at high level. The outlook for our resort business is more difficult to predict. Some resorts report themselves booked solid for the 1949 season already. Others are not so fortunate. Our resort business depends a lot on our scenic beauty, our beaches, fishing, amusement, and general vacation facilities, of course. And the Chamber of Commerce has developed much new literature for 1949 distribution, advertising South Haven to resort and tourist trade. We've also attempted to improve our ads and periodicals on the subject. In addition, we are planning promotions for beach improvement and civic beautification. This year, our annual spring cleanup promotion received national recognition by placing second to the United States in cities of its class, and we plan to continue that promotion in 1949. If I were to put our predictions for the outlook in 1949 into one word, it would be wholesome.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. That concludes our roundup of reports from respective chambers of commerce in Western Michigan. Before signing off, I'd like to give you a report on employment in Michigan as of December 15th. This information was obtained today from the State Unemployment Office. Employment figures in widely scattered Michigan cities do not seem to confirm the rumors that employment generally is substantially lower. Of course, employment in December always is higher in non-manufacturing industries because of extra help added to take care of the Christmas rush. It usually is compensated for by inventory layoffs in manufacturing plants. Well, Detroit, with the largest labor force in the state, added 10,700 to its payrolls between November 15th and December 15th, and two-thirds of these were in manufacturing plants. In Ypsilanti, employment in manufacturing was up 500. In Kalamazoo, it was up 100 from the November 15th figure. Elsewhere in the state, employment remained just about the same. Battle Creek was up 110 in its manufacturers. Bay City was down 180. Niles had an increased number of employees, while South Haven was slightly off. All in all, these figures do not indicate any trend toward widespread unemployment. On the contrary, they seem to augur well for 1949. It looks like there will continue to be a lot of people of Western Michigan at work during the months ahead. Next week, we're going to bring you a story about ourselves, a radio station, how it operates, and the kind of people who work in it.
Western Michigan at Work was another program presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.
WKZO in Kalamazoo.
S-U-R-F. Surf washes heavy laundry.
Surf washes light things too.
Licks that old hard water scum.
Surf makes wash day easy for you. Surf.
Yes, ladies, Surf is really the all-time hard water suds sensation. Surf is ideal for the heaviest, dirtiest wash. Works like magic in the hardest water. Every woman knows how hard water forms scum that yellows and grays white clothes and dulls pretty colors. Well, Surf licks hard water scum. Your white clothes stay white. Colors stay bright. Suds come up instantly, and they're suds that really last. Kind to hands, too. Surf, S-U-R-F, Surf, is another fine product of Lever Brothers Company, especially made for hard water. So try Surf next wash day. It's at your store now.
For clothes and dishes, remember Surf.
That's a sensation.
Such sensation.
Such sensation, Surf. Surf.
S-U-R-F, Surf.
Time now for the latest news from the wires of the Associated Press and the WKZO Newsroom, brought to you by the Studebaker dealer in Kalamazoo, Vishalia Motor Sales, 738 West Main Street. A new 1949 Studebaker truck is an economy truck that will give you miles and miles of service and satisfaction. There's a size just right for you and your business. See the 1949 Studebaker trucks at your very first opportunity. Visit Vishalia Motor Sales,